Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's going down, but there's no better time to hit the links. This is Global Golf Radio, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company with Ned Michaels and Barney Allery.
And sure enough, the sun is going down. But nonetheless, just like the guy said, there's no better time to talk golf. So folks, welcome in. You're listening to Global Golf Radio. I'm going to be your host in studio. I'm Barney Allery. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. For that, all you have to do is give us a call at 615-737-1045. That's 615-737-1045. Folks, we've got a lot of ground to cover. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the world of golf, including Patrick Reed. Congratulations, last year's Masters winner. He wins the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs by winning the Northern Trust. It's his first win since last year. We're going to cover a little bit about that. And then also, since he wins, we're going to have to look and see how that impacts the President's Cup. Because, for instance, the big question is, would you go with Patrick Reed? Would you go with Jordan Spieth? Jordan Spieth also played well the Northern Trust, so maybe he's starting to turn the corner. And then also, I'm going to bring up a big question about the President's Cup, and that question is it a real competition or is it an exhibition? So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Of course, I've got Shut Your Mouths. In fact, I have three Shut Your Mouths that we're going to cover. One of the Shut Your Mouths just might be the Shut Your Mouth of the year. And so what this week made you want to shout from the rooftops to just shut your mouth? And so then we're also going to take a look and see at what's happening at this week's BMW Championship, because you're going to need to be in the top 30 once this tournament comes to an end. We're going to look and see who's on the bubble to make it to the top 30 of the Tour Championship next week. Also, we're going to cover who some of the new fresh faces are going to graduate from the Corn Ferry to play on the PGA Tour next year. That and a whole lot more. And also possibly joining us later in the show is going to be my man, Mr. Ned Michaels, who is covering the U.S. Amateur out at Pinehurst. And he just might join us later in the show and tell us what's going on out there. And then also about the U.S. Amateur, they gave out a tee gift, the likes of which I have never seen or heard of. And if you've got any kind of patriotism to you and you love this great country, you're going to absolutely want to hear what's going on there. So, folks, again, as always, you're welcome to join the show. You can give us a call at 615-737-1045. But where I want to start the show is going to be, again, congratulations to Patrick Reed, who wins the Northern Trust. It was 41 tournaments and 16 months in the making. Because did you also realize that after he won the Masters last year, doggone it, if he doesn't go about 8 months without a top 10. So he'd been struggling mightily, but he finally turned it around sometime, I want to say maybe in May, and had 5 top 25 finishes heading into this particular event. But in the meantime, the lowest point that he had gotten was when he's playing at the Valspar earlier this year in March at a golf course he's had tremendous success at. And this time, or rather, he misses the cut, and it's enough for his wife, Justine, to get involved. And she's the one that contacted David Ledbetter to see if just maybe he could take a look at his golf swing and help him out. And so let me put it to you this way. When your wife gets involved in your golf game and she's calling golf coaches on your behalf, you're kind of struggling just a little bit. But in the meantime, evidently, some of the things that David Ledbetter told him to do, I think, started paying off. But the real turning point was when he finally realized, you know what? I need to step away. He took 10 days off. And then once he started clearing his mind and he came back, from my perspective, the athlete in him is what came back. Because I'm also not so sure if he also didn't kind of paint himself into a corner where he was a little too concerned with the mechanics of his swing. instead of just simply hitting golf shots, hitting it a little higher, a little lower, a little more left, a little more right, that kind of stuff, and then getting the swing to start falling in place. And falling in place it did, especially here at the Northern Trust, where when it's all said and done, he wins the tournament, he shoots 16 under, and then in second place was a fella who actually he's had some success here in Nashville when it was the Web.com, but now the Korn Ferry. I'm talking about Abraham Anser. And then Harold Varner finishes in third at 14 under, tied with John Rahm. Adam Scott, who's been playing well this year, he finishes fifth at 13 under, actually shoots the lowest round of the day, I believe, shot a 6-under final round to get a 13-under total. Nashville's very own Brant Snedeker, who unfortunately had two bogeys in his last four holes, he finished the tournament 12-under par, tied with Lou Oosthuizen, who shot another 12-under, and then Rory McIlroy shoots 12-under, but also I want to take a look at someone else that finished tied for six at 12 under, and that happens to be the one and only Jordan Spieth. That Jordan Spieth was also in the final pairing on Saturday after shooting rounds of 67 and 64. But sadly and unfortunately, he shoots a 74 on Saturday, and basically, I don't know what to make out of Jordan Spieth here lately. Because from my perspective, he is absolutely doing it on smoke and mirrors. From my perspective, he is absolutely getting the most out of the least. But in the meantime, as much as he's been struggling, it's fascinating to me that his first round scoring average, he's actually ninth on tour. His second round scoring average, to the tune of 68.19, he is second on tour. But then, lo and behold, his third-round scoring average, he's 174th. And then his final-round scoring average, to the tune of 72.63, he's 192nd on tour. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just not good. From my perspective, again, he's been doing it on smoke and mirrors. But nonetheless, he still plays great. He still has the potential to play great on Thursday and Friday, only to absolutely just give it all back and just plays terrible on the weekend. And speaking of playing terribly on the weekend, another guy that I want to highlight and take a look at was his playing partner on Saturday, none other than Dustin Johnson. Long-hitting Dustin Johnson, that from my perspective, this is a little bit of a down year. I'm not so sure if I'm not going to call a little bit of a down year for him, because gee whiz, did he let this tournament slip right out of his hands. Because when he starts the tournament, he shoots a 63 and a 67. He evidently took a page right out of the Jordan Spieth playbook, and he shoots a 74 on Saturday. And then from there, also bogeyed four of the last six holes. But then at least Spieth bounced back on Sunday. Johnson could do no better on Sunday, following up with a 73 and finishes tied for 24th. And for a player of the caliber of Dustin Johnson, former number one in the world, that it has to be bugging him incredibly, the success that his best friend Brooks Koepka has had. And from my perspective, Dustin Johnson has been spinning his wheels, because I also believe that since Dustin Johnson finished second in the PGA Championship going all the way back in May, he has not finished in the top 20 since then. Not one time since May. A guy that outdrives everybody. A guy that his wedge game had improved so incredibly much. A guy that's putting stroke has improved so much. And he just cannot seem to get a little bit of traction and cannot seem to put himself in a position at this point, not just to win tournaments, but get in the mixed and become more competitive on the weekend. So I don't know what in the world is going on with Dustin Johnson. I also don't know how all this is going to play itself out when the President's Cup rolls along. But also going back to Jordan Spieth, that again, I can't figure out what's going on with Jordan Spieth, because on the one hand, he looks phenomenal. He has flashes of his old self. And then on the other hand, there's these stats that are so telling that they're just completely hard to ignore. That again, like I said, I think he's getting the most out of the least, because Jordan Spieth, despite the fact that somehow he can figure out how to play so well on Thursday and Friday, he's 183rd in strokes gained off the tee. That's no good. He's 142nd in strokes gained approach the green. That's no good. He's 155th in strokes gained tee to green. That's no good. But where he is good, I think he's found his putting touch back, because he's third in strokes gained putting, which also puts him 58 in strokes gained total. So again, Jordan Spieth, I can't put my finger on you. I'm not exactly sure what in the world's going on with you. And in the meantime, he is absolutely on the outside looking in for that President's Cup. We're going to take a little bit of a closer look at that later on in the show, because again, I'm going to ask the question, is the President's Cup a competition? Is it a real competition, or is it an exhibition? And so folks, you're listening to Global Golf Radio. And when we come back, I've got a few shut your mouths that I want to go ahead and share with you. All that before the discussion about the President's Cup, as well as looking to see which fresh faces have graduated from the Corn Ferry and that you're going to get to see and cheer on the PGA Tour. Folks, keep it right here. Listen, Global Golf Radio, 104.5 The Zone.
Hi, it's Rick Dees here.
All right, everyone, welcome back into Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Allen, the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And again, as always, we always welcome your calls and commentary. And for that, all you have to do is give us a call at 615-737-1045. And also, Global Golf Radio is very proud to be brought to you by Visit Mississippi. And can you blame us when myself, Ned Michaels, and Bob Mueller, that's where we love to go, because they've got fabulous golf courses such as Mossy Oak, a Fallen Oak, Dancing Rabbit. They've got world-class seafood. They've got chicken. They've got sports betting. Football is right around the corner. Mississippi is the place to be, and they can take care of all of your travel needs when you just go to www.visitmississippi.org. And one of the golf courses that I'm about to mention in Mississippi is Old Waverly, where they just got done playing the U.S. Amateur. And so, ladies and gentlemen, here comes my first shut your mouth of the evening. And so for folks who are not familiar with the show, well, every so often, the segment Shut Your Mouth is basically what this week, or maybe even today, happened that make you want to say shut your mouth. And then in some cases as well, that somebody else, you know what, maybe they need to shut their mouth. But my first Shut Your Mouth actually took place at Old Waverly. And congratulations goes to a very young 19-year-old Gabby Ruffles. She is from Australia. She wins the U.S. Women's Amateur. And what made me want to say shut your mouth about young Gabby Ruffles, ladies and gentlemen, she's been playing golf for 5 years. And that makes me want to say, shut your mouth, because that is virtually impossible. In the history of the USGA, there cannot be barely any competition of any type that involves the USGA where someone has won and they've only been playing golf for 4 years. Now, the only way that maybe that's a possibility would either be for the U.S. The U.S. boys or the U.S. girls. But when you start getting into the U.S. women's amateur, the U.S. men's amateur, and then, of course, the Opens, there's no way. There's absolutely no way. And so here's a 19-year-old from Australia. She's only been playing golf for 5 years. Now, I forget what she was doing prior to that, but she first picked up a club when she's 14 years old. But beyond that, something else about the young lady and her clutch win out there at Old Waverly. We're on the 18th hole, this little dog leg, par 4, elevated green. There's water. She hits this clutch shot onto the green. She kind of needs to make the putt, and she read it perfectly and dropped it in. Dropped it in like the ball knew exactly what to do. But the other thing about her, her brother is a professional golfer. Her brother is Ryan Ruffles. Now, I'm assuming the vast majority of you have no idea who in the world Ryan Ruffles is, but I'll tell you who he is. He's the young man that a lot of people kind of foresaw as maybe some kind of a little prodigy, let's say about 4 or 5 years ago, kind of destined for greatness. He's still in his early to mid-20s at this point, but back then, everyone really was wondering if he was going to be the next big thing in golf, and he's the one that playing somewhere, probably on a PGA Tour sponsors exemption, is playing a practice round in the company of Phil Mickelson. Now, Phil Mickelson, I love Phil Mickelson. I mean, I think he's a wonderful ambassador for golf, and of course, Hall of Fame golfer, and of course, he's won so many magnificent tournaments and so many great memories. But another little thing about Phil Mickelson, that guy is not afraid to put some money down and put a bet in a practice round. And as I recall it, so they finish the practice round. Let's say it's on a Tuesday. And so the media goes to talk to Ryan Ruffles about, hey, how'd the practice round go? And he goes on and he says something like that he beat Mickelson. So he was very, very happy about that. But then the next thing that he goes ahead and he kind of puts his foot in his mouth just a little bit is he mentions that I think that he won. It may or may not have been around $10,000 in this bet that absolutely infuriated Mickelson. Because from Mickelson's standpoint, you don't mention, if you want to tell the media you beat me, fine. But do not mention the amount. Do not mention the amount. And so anyhow, that's my biggest memory up to now about Ryan Ruffles. And then lo and behold, his younger sister, evidently, she is really good. And what in the world mom and dad did with their kids, I don't know if it's an athletic training or what in the world is going on over there in Australia, but evidently they've got something going on over there that is mightily impressive. So congratulations to them. Now, my next shut your mouth. This one goes to Bryson DeChambeau. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that evidently, as it stands, this whole issue about slow play, it is maybe more than it has been in a long, long time. It is a thing. It is absolutely a thing. And so now a slower player like Bryson DeChambeau, well, let me put it to you this way. So the Golf Channel and NBC, they want you to pay this upgraded viewing opportunity where you can follow your favorite players and so forth. I forget what it's called. It's not Golf Pass, but I forget what it's called. I also forget what the amount is. But anyhow, so let's say that in the past, prior to that, in the TV tower, they could kind of select, well, Bryson's not ready to hit. So now we're going to show you another guy who's about to hit. Well, then we'll show you, okay, he's still not ready to hit. We're going to show you another guy. This guy's ready to hit. But now, Bryson DeChambeau has nowhere to hide. Him and other slow players, if you want to follow his feature group, he has nowhere to hide. And so anyhow, where it all escalated was when it takes him over 2 minutes to miss this 8-foot putt. And he's analyzing it from all over the place. And quite honestly, the length of the duration, the time it took him to finally stand over the putt and pull the trigger was again, it just simply wasn't necessary. But anyhow, so Brooks Koepka happens to mention and point out Bryson DeChambeau as being a slow player. And Bryson DeChambeau, once he heard about that, goes to Brooks Koepka's caddy and says something along the likes of, and I quote, "You tell your boss that if he's got any issue with me, he can tell it to me to my face." Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me, Bryson DeChambeau? So, Bryson, please do us a favor and shut your mouth, why don't you? Because naturally, Brooks Koepka is not intimidated or bothered in any way, shape, and form by Bryson DeChambeau. And let me put it to you this way. I have every reason to believe that Brooks was probably shaken. The reason he was shaking was from laughing so much. Because again, for Bryson DeChambeau to kind of even put the tone out there that there might be, I'm not going to go so far as say violence. I don't even know if I'll say, go so far as say animosity. But to just put it out there, to tell him to my face, are you kidding me? And so again, be a grown man, and that's not necessary. And you know what? You're going to run into him in the locker room anyways. So leave the caddy alone while you're at it as well. And just tell him directly. And so anyhow, again, it's another moment this year. Bryson DeChambeau now has accumulated at least 3 or 4 other moments this year where, in my mind, he easily could have shut your mouth. One of which, going all the way back in the spring, when he has the audacity to tell us how wonderful Saudi Arabia is. And anyhow, I gave him a hard way to go about that one too. But in this one as well, Bryson, let me put it to you this way. If you don't want to be associated as a slow player, then don't take 2 minutes to pull the trigger on an 8-foot putt. And so now my third shut your mouth. And this one might wind up being my number one shut your mouth of the year. Because again, following right along with Bryson DeChambeau being a slow player, and that this whole slow play thing, it's for real. And I think that finally something's about to get done, and not 1 minute too soon. And the reason why is because the revelation. I've been following golf since I was a child, but even I did not know that the last time that a player got a slow play penalty, a penalty for slow play, was in 1990. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? Ryan Albanese, how old are you?
I'm 28. I was born in 1990.
Exactly! Exactly! Your entire lifetime, from the time you were born and then in diapers and all the way up to now, that's how long it's been. Your entire lifetime, that's how long it's been. We're talking tens of thousands of rounds. We're talking millions of shots. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tournaments. We're talking thousands of tournaments. And you're telling me that you have not given a guy a slow play penalty since 1990? And sadly and unfortunately, the player that does get the slow play penalty, well, for those who are old enough, that are older than 28 years old and follow golf, it went to Glenn Day. And as I understand it, Glenn Day's nickname in the locker room was Glenn All Day, because it was going to take him all day. And evidently it did, because evidently it leads me to wonder, holy cow, how slow was this guy? But in the meantime, so again, you got guys like Bryson DeChambeau that take forever. I know good and well that Jim Furyk repeatedly has been referred to as the human rain delay. He takes his sweet time. But and then, like, absolutely so many others. So the PGA Tour, come on now. Let's get a little bit serious, because the reality is, the reality is evidently there is no slow play policy. Evidently, the powers that be and the guy that enforced the rules, the slow play policy is, please, 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 please hurry up. Please, 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 please do not put me in a position where I have to assess someone a penalty. Evidently, that's the slow play policy. And so as I understand it, the actual policy is they want to time the group. And then after that, I think they're going to time the player. And I think that most players, they're savvy enough that they're going to speed it up just barely enough. And one of the things I'll be really curious to see going forward is if eventually there's the implementation of a shot clock. And so I'll be curious to see how that goes. But folks are listening to Global Golf Radio, and I've got a whole lot more to get to. And I'm also going to figure out here real soon if Ned Michaels is going to join us or not. He is covering the U.S. Amateur with Fox. He's out at Pinehurst. But beyond that, we've got all sorts of other stuff to get to, including, for instance, who has now graduated from the Korn Ferry and will be playing on the PGA Tour. That and who's on the bubble to play next week's Tour Championship. So, folks, keep it right here. You're listening to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone.
Round here, everyone.
All right, everyone, making the turn here at Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Aller, the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And as always, Global Golf is very proud to be brought to you by Hers and His. Hers and His is now accepting applications for enthusiastic service plumbers in the Nashville area. They're looking for knowledgeable plumbers to take pride in their trade and provide exceptional customer service. So if you consider yourself a plumbing whiz, take our advice and call Hers and His. Call 615-254-5750. That's 615-254-5750. Today to set up your interview. You can also go online at www.hersandhis.com. And how much confidence does Ned Michaels have in Hers and His? He sent his mother-in-law. He sent his neighbor. That's confidence. That's Hers and His. And speaking of Ned Michaels, he will be joining us in the following segment. Again, he's on site covering the U.S. Amateur at Pinehurst with Fox. He's going to tell us everything that's going on over there. But folks, in the meantime, we still have a lot of ground to cover right here, including we are taking a very close watch to who needs to be in the top 10, who is on the bubble to advance the Tour Championship next week or the season is over. And some of which, Tommy Fleetwood right now, he's 24th in the FedEx Cup. He should be in. Shane Lowry, British Open champion, he's 25th. And then from there, a few other guys gets a little interesting. Last year's British Open champion, Francesco Molinari, he is actually 34th. And so if you're a fan of his, well, he's going to need to finish around 15th or better at the BMW Championship so that he can play next week. And then the next guy, Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods going into the tournament right now is 38th. He needs to finish 11th or better. And I'm also going to tell you that I've got concern about Tiger Woods. Because, so he turns around last year. He's extraordinarily competitive in the British Open. Darn near, if it wasn't for Brooks Koepka playing so incredibly well at the PGA Championship last week, he probably could have, should have, would have won that one, despite the fact he's having trouble finding the fairway with his driver. And then he wins the Tour Championship. And for heaven's sakes, if Elvis Presley would have come back from the grave to win a golf tournament, I think that's a little bit what that would look like. And then, of course, he wins the Masters. And we're sitting there going, it's on. It's back on. That suddenly him joining Jack for most majors, that could happen. And now all of a sudden, whoa. We're having to take a step back just a little bit, not so fast. Because again, he showed us during the part of the summer that if it's a little cool to cold, that's not that good for him. And then last week, a little bit of a concern. Where all of a sudden on Wednesday, he doesn't even finish the Wednesday Pro-Am. He spends the back nine just kind of chipping and putting. And then it didn't take long on Thursday, as I recall, that he withdraws from the event. But now here he is at the BMW Championship. He says his back is much, much better. But with all due respect, it's not the first time that he's lied to us either. And so I vividly remember this one Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass this one particular year, maybe 8 to 10 years ago. And evidently there was a story floating around that his neck wasn't so good. And as I recall it, on Wednesday, he comes up and he says, "No, my neck is fine, ready to go, whatever. I don't even think he played 9 holes on Thursday." That sure enough, no, your neck wasn't good. Now, I don't know. Maybe something happened between Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know. But in the meantime, I have concern that the biggest secret in golf right now is his back is not as good as everyone wants to make it out to be. But in the meantime, again, if he wants to have a chance to defend his title at Tour Championship, he needs to finish 11th or better at the BMW. Otherwise, his season comes to an end. And then that brings me to another guy, Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth right now is 44th. But he advanced with finishing tied for 6th at the Northern Trust. He jumped forward remarkably to be 44th, but nonetheless, his work ain't done. If he's going to be in the Tour Championship next week, he needs to finish 9th. And then there's Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson is 46th on the FedEx Cup. He needs to finish 6th or better, or his season is over. And then another guy that quietly enough has just really been kind of spinning his wheels for the better part of the year, it seems, is Jason Day, who as it stands is 50th on the FedEx Cup, and also turns out that he now has split his relationship with Stevie Williams, who had so much success with Tiger Woods back in the day. So they went ahead and split. I'm not exactly sure what that was all about. I will say, though, that Stevie Williams, as I understood it, was basically meaning to go into retirement. And so for all I know, he's sitting there going, this guy's kind of spinning his wheels. Jason Day's also had all sorts of little injuries here and there as well. And so for all I know, Stevie Williams is sitting there going, this just isn't working out. But again, speaking of not working out, Jason Day, who back in 2015 was the number one player in the world. I think he took the number one player in the world right off of Jordan Spieth because he'd been playing so well going into the fall. Well, Jason Day, evidently, he has slipped just a little bit. Which now brings my attention to the President's Cup. And so my biggest question has to do with the President's Cup, because all this is starting to wind down and captain's picks are going to happen here soon. Is this a real competition or is this an exhibition? Or are you also so confident that the U.S. is going to win, which seemingly they seem to do every time we've got one of these things, that honestly the captain's pick don't matter? Because if you're so confident that the U.S. team is that dominant and they're just going to win, and if you consider this more as an exhibition than a real competition, you know what? Tiger Woods might become a playing captain. He's 13th right now in the President's Cup standings. But the reality is they're going to play this thing out at Royal Melbourne in Australia, which is a spectacular golf course. But when is this thing, when is the President's Cup ever going to get back to Royal Melbourne? Well, I'll put the over-under probably in about 15 to 20 years, easily. And guess what? Tiger Woods at that point would be in his late to in his mid to late 50s. There's no way that he's playing. But for the fans and the golf enthusiasts out in Australia to get to see the 2019 Masters champion, and even if his back hurts him, even if he has to withdraw, even if he struggles, if it's an exhibition, you know what, Tiger Woods? And then you want to sell some tickets? You know what, Tiger Woods, you're playing. And with that being said, if it's an exhibition or if you're so confident that the U.S. team is going to win regardless who's out there, put Phil Mickelson in there too. Because as it stands, he is 15th on the President's Cup standings. And then I might also go ahead and tell you, go ahead and put the third best putter on tour out there. And I'm talking about Jordan Spieth. Now, he might not hit the fairway for you, but he can putt because everyone loves Jordan Spieth. Because from my perspective, if it's more of a real competition, then you've got to get guys that are a little bit younger and a little more competitive. And one guy that's on the outside looking in that has an above average chance of getting picked, I'm talking about the guy that currently stands in 11th position in the President's Cup standings. I'm talking about Ricky Fowler. And then the guy that's ninth, your U.S. Open champion in Gary Woodland. And now, all of a sudden, with winning the Northern Trust, Patrick Reed catapults himself into being 12th on the President's Cup. So we're about to see, once and for all, we're about to see if it's a real competition or if it's an exhibition. Because, again, if it's an exhibition, you know what? Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and maybe Jordan Spieth, maybe Ricky Fowler, you know what? You guys should go ahead and play. But about the President's Cup, and in all likelihood, the confidence that the U.S. team has in winning. Did you know that as of right now, with the automatic, the guys that are on the team automatically, the U.S. team as it stands has a combined 10 wins right now this year. The international team has one. And that one, it's not Hideki Matsuyama. It's not Mark Leishman. It's not Liu Yustazen. It's not Adam Scott. Believe it or not, the one automatic qualifier on the international team is CT Pan, who won at Hilton Head. And going back to Jason Day, when I mentioned he's 50th on the FedEx Cup, he's on the outside looking in to make that team for the President's Cup. But I guarantee he's absolutely going to be a pick. So folks, you're listening to Global Golf Radio. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Ned Michaels, who's on site at Pinehurst covering the U.S. Amateur for Fox. He joins us next, so folks, keep it right here. You listen to Global Golf Radio on 104.5 The Zone. 104.5. All right, one more tee shot to go. Standing on 18T, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back into Global Golf Radio. I'm Barney Aller. I'm the head golf instructor at the Old Hickory Country Club. And one guy that I know would just absolutely stripe it, probably about 310 or so down the middle, is my man joining us directly from the U.S. Amateur at Pinehurst, Mr. Ned Michaels. Ned, welcome in.
Barney, how are you, my man?
I'm doing great. How's life with Fox? How's life at Pinehurst?
Barney, I'm sitting at the Holly Inn, which was one of the original structures here at Pinehurst back in 1895. May have had a cold beer after a long day of broadcasting, and just enjoying this Pinehurst. This is one of the great places in the world of golf. It is, as a matter of fact, the home of American golf. So it's been a terrific week. A lot of good matches still to come.
Yes, and I'm sure that the golf course looks spectacular because it always does. And are there any particular players that that we need to be keeping our eye on for?
Well, one of the guys that had my eye on, and much like the 64 teams in the NCAA, everybody sets their bracket. I had two players that have my eye on, a guy named Brandon Wu, who was just graduated from Stanford, qualified for the U.S. Open. He got his diploma on the back of the 18th green after he made the cut at the U.S. Open on Sunday. He was knocked off today. He was the first seed because he was a medalist. 64th seed was a guy who got through a 27-for-3 qualifier.
Gosh.
He gets through and he knocks off the one seat.
Unbelievable.
So Brandon Wu, he's on his way home. He's probably on his way to the Walker Cup, frankly. He'll be picked, I would imagine, later this week. But a guy, a local guy, a Vanderbilt kid by the name of John Augenstein, he has been a clutch performer for the Commodores. He's made, since he was a freshman, he's made big putts in the SEC Championship, which is now a match play event, the NCAA Championship. He's a clutch guy. He waxed his first-round opponents today. So those are the two guys that I was keeping my eye on. But in terms of, like, who do I think is going to win, Augenstein is my man.
For those who don't know, Ned, a long time ago, maybe right around the infancy of the Internet, Ned played golf for Vanderbilt. And I know good and well Augenstein's a stud, but he can't be any better than you were back then. There's no way.
No, there is no way.
He's good, but he's not Ned Michaels good. So
I actually had this conversation with a couple of guys. Jason Gore, who's here this week, he works for the USGA. We were talking at breakfast. How much better, and Barney, you chime in on this because you were the 1991 OVC champion up at
Austin Peay. That's
right. How much better these guys are than we were.
Oh, yeah.
They're just technically superior.
Oh, yeah.
They hit it farther, and you could say, well, it's technology. Okay, I'll give you that. They just hit it better. They putt it better.
Oh,
they chip it better. They're just flat better.
Naturally, the next generation, younger, stronger, faster, and then the sharing of knowledge. And the fact of the matter is, in this day and age, the competition is really remarkable. And, of course, we see it at a junior level. We're back in the day. I mean, you got junior golf tournaments being one under par. And, I mean, back in the day, for heaven's sakes, they would have had a bronze statue of you if you'd have shot under par at least a couple times. And now you can actually shoot 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 under par for a 2 or 3 day event. And your mom and dad are looking at you going, what's wrong? Why didn't, you know, what do you need to work on next?
It's so true. You know, I remember, I think it was my junior or senior year, I had the second or third best stroke average on the Vanderbilt team. And it was 75.2.
Oh my gosh.
Literally like a tenth of a shot behind Snedeker's. 75.2. And I might have had 3, 4, 5 top tens, or team won twice that year, something like that. 75.2, Barney, you're not even making the JV team. You're not even, you can't even try out for the walk on.
Yeah, but Ned, we're going to go ahead and say that it was like a cold, harsh winter, and you guys, you know, for whatever reason, kept scheduling tournaments in Minnesota and Wisconsin and things like that. Clearly, that had to be the reason why.
Well, to be quite honest, we did not play as well manicured golf courses as they do now.
That's true.
We would play places. We would go to California. We go to Dominican Republic, places that where we weren't used to playing. So there is actually some truth to that. That's a total scapegoat excuse.
So speaking of well-groomed and being well-manicured, surely to goodness, you wouldn't go out there to Pinehurst and do what you do with Fox and your hair looks a mess.
You know, I was looking at John Augenstein today. He's got this beautiful flowing mane of blonde hair. And I said, I bet that man goes to Uncle Classic Barbershop. I'm surprised I haven't seen him in there. I go to the one down in Brentwood, but I bet there's one in Hillsborough Village right near Vanderbilt. And I would bet my bottom dollar that is where John Augenstein goes. That's my barber shop, Barney. And the thing that's cool about it, I can book online, www.uncleclassicbarbershop.com. And, Barney, I got picked up this week to call some e-sports. I'm going to be calling some e-golf. You know what e-sports are? This is electronic sports. This is one of the craziest things of all time. It's watching other people play video games.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm going to be calling a world golf championship of e-sports. Still got to look my best. You better believe I'm going to Uncle Classic Barbershop.
And so now, Ned, something else when you want to talk about looking your best, and I'll assume that you're up to speed with what this is, but have you heard about the Heritage Flag tee gift that was given to the participants?
No, do tell.
Well, the Golf Channel ran this story, and so I didn't know if you being on site, if you'd heard about it. But to make it, to try to kind of summarize this quickly as possible, this company, and
it's a sort of a small mom and pop
kind of a company to some extent. And so are you up to speed, or you want me to keep going with it?
No, the wooden flags that have been given out are phenomenal. They've got a big one where all the players walk in. And, of course, this week they're going to be announcing some of the Walker Cup participants on the American side, as well as the Great Britain and Ireland side. They've got a great big one. The local company And all the participants here are signing it. I think I'm going to steal it tomorrow.
So, again, for those who don't know what we're talking about, there's this local company out there near Pinehurst called Heritage Flag. And so what they do is with kind of, I don't know if I'll call it abandoned wood, but they kind of chop it up and they make American flags out of this wood that basically, I guess, would have just been chucked aside. And then I think it was like about two-ish years ago when I forget which hurricane goes up the East Coast and really wreaks havoc out at Pinehurst. And I think that Pinehurst reaches out to them and basically says, if you can take the trees off the property, they're all yours. And the guy's sitting there going, you don't have to tell me twice. We're coming down there. And so now what they've done is that, I don't know if recycled is the right word, but then sure enough, now they've made these wooden flags, American flags that they've given as a tea gift to all of the participant with wood from the Pinehurst property.
Yes, you're accurate in your description of all that, and it is so cool and authentic and genuine, and it just oozes Pinehurst. And so exactly right. All the participants get a little one, and then there's this great big one with all the signatures on it. And with a little bit of luck, Barney, if Pinkerton doesn't catch me tomorrow, that'll be in our studio next Wednesday.
But I'm sure that with all the participants, at first they were sitting there going, what is this? Until they realized what in the world it is. And good on you, Pinehurst. Bravo and well done. So, Ned, why don't you go ahead and share with us what your responsibilities are going to be with Fox covering this week's and this year's U.S. Amateur.
Yeah, you can check out the Fox broadcast. Today they were 4 to 7 Eastern time. They'll be the same, I think, throughout the week, varying times on Fox Sports 1 and then the main Fox show. I'll be part of the USGA coverage. You can check us out on usga.org, usamateur.com. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place. I think we're doing YouTube as well. And it's cool because we actually get to get down on the ground. We get to call a lot of the golf, and we get to interview all the players and then, of course, do pre- and post-game specials. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. These guys are so talented. They're still open to talking to us. So you can really get to know the players themselves, and they're so easy to root for. And this year, you know, last year we had all these great big names that went on to PGA Tour stardom, and this year there's a couple of them, but not as many, so we're having to dig deep and get to know these guys. So come join us with us. It's a ton of fun.
So Ned, for just the last minute that I've got you on here, you missed one of my Shut Your Mouse, which goes to Gabby Ruffles, who wins the U.S. Women's Amateur. And Ned, she's only been playing golf for 5 years. Are you kidding me? Shut your mouth.
You know,
some
people
ridiculous?
Have all the luck, Barney. They're just talented. Shut your mouth. 5 years and you're winning the biggest amateur event in golf? Come on, shut it.
That's crazy. So, Ned, thanks for joining us here on the show, and have a great rest of the week at Fox.
I'll see you next week, pal.
All right. So, folks, that's Ned Michaels. And, again, you can find him part of the Fox coverage for the U.S. Amateur taking place at Pinehurst. And, again, it's another tournament that he gets to cover. And I can't be I can't tell you how proud I am about – and congratulations to him that, again, for those who are not that familiar with the show, that has to be one of the highlights of the year, including being in the booth with Peter Alice just, I guess, a month or so ago out at the British Open. And so, again, congratulations to Ned, and I'm sure he's going to do great. So now, with the few minutes we have remaining, we're going to take a look and see, and congratulations to some of the participants that played in the Korn Ferry, which up until about the middle of the year was better known as web.com. But the Korn Ferry top 25 that are going to move on to play in the PGA Tour next year, one of which, number two, straight from the University of Alabama, Robbie Shelton, who's also your 2019 Nashville Golf Open winner. And so he's going to be playing on the PGA Tour next year. And he's also going to be playing with Scottie Scheffler, who was a stud from the University of Texas. He finished third this year. And then another Nashville connection, for those who actually went to the National Golf Open a couple years ago, Lanto Griffin. You might remember Lanto Griffin, and who also defeated Abraham Anser, who just got done finishing second this past week at the Northern Trust. The same Abraham Anser, who as it stands is actually fifth on the international team on the President's Cup. But Lanto Griffin, you're going to be a member of the PGA Tour next year. He finished sixth this week on the Corn, or this past year on the Corn Ferry. And then also Tyler McCumber finished 22nd. He's the son of Mark McCumber. So he's going to get to play on the PGA Tour. And then another stud you're going to want to keep your eye on is Maverick McNealy, because that young man played golf at Stanford, and he is good. And then for those that did not finish in the top 25 and those that finished 126 to 200 on the PGA Tour, well, the pressure's on, folks, because they have got to advance. They've got three tournaments that are part of the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. They've got three tournaments that they need to play great in. There's still 25 cards left to be had on the PGA Tour, but all eyes in particular are on Victor Hovland in particular, that again played golf at Oklahoma State. He just saw his best friend and teammate Matthew Wolf win a tournament just a month or two ago, and Victor Hovland was literally a few decimal points away. Well, maybe not that close, but close enough, a few points away, that he could have been playing on the PGA Tour. Ollie Schneider-Jans, he's another one that needs to turn it on. And so, folks, that's going to do it here for us here in Global Golf Radio, but keep it right here in 145 The Zone, because Neutral Zone with Team Martell, they're fixing to walk in studio in just a few minutes, and I'm sure they're going to have a blast. Folks, have a great rest of the week. Keep it right here in 145 The Zone.